The Toy and Action Figure Podcast on itfigurespodcast.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Christina.
And I'm your Lord Killen.
And I gotta move this microphone a little bit because it's straight up in my face.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
You can't see me. All right. So it's like a whole week after Toy Fair already.
And did no one notice we didn't put up an episode?
No, there was a few people that asked where it was, I think. But for the most part, no. Nobody really said anything.
I guess no one even
There was cares. So much craziness no going on. Well, there was so much craziness going on last week that everybody was just like, new toys, we don't care about anything else right now. So that's all it was. But now they get to hear us talk about all that stuff. So, you know. We're just, like, extending the
Plus,
the
it was
excitement.
Valentine's Day, so...
Yeah, all kinds of craziness.
Everybody was busy.
Yep, everybody had stuff going on, so we couldn't record last week. We just got back from New York. We had to do the Valentine's Day thing.
Yeah, you did.
You know, real life got in the way.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, that's that, but we're here. New episode, and now we're going to talk about New York Toy Fair, because we were there, and it was underwhelming for the most part, but, you know...
Very cold.
Stuff was going on. New York was cool. It was very cold.
Nothing was going on. That place was the saddest trip.
Yeah, Toy Fair was super, super underwhelming as far as reveals and stuff goes, but that is totally because of exactly what we were talking about right before Toy Fair, where everybody dropped the bomb on all of their new stuff before we even went.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went there, all we were basically seeing was the same thing that they had just shown us online the week before. And the only, I mean, there was very few brand new things that we were really seeing at the show. So, I figured we would just kind of go through company by company and just kind of talk about some of the things that they showed off and what our thoughts were on some of that stuff. And
they will talk.
Christina can just kind of listen in and go, oh, they're talking about it again, you know.
Well, you could act like you were there. And
yeah.
Be like,
I was there. I was just in a different section than you guys were.
Oh, well, you can tell us about your trip.
Yeah, you can tell us what you did while we were at Toy Fair. I gallivanted through the city. I bought a beret thing.
A beret.
I got arrested in the subway.
Got arrested in the subway. I fought a hobo.
I probably had some of the wedding pictures in the subway.
Wedding pictures in the subway?
She was photobombing all weekend.
Amazing.
There was people there that had just gotten married and were having their photos taken in the...
In the subway?
Well, in the Central...
Oh, Grand Central Station. Okay, that makes a little more sense.
It's the subway.
Let's go do our... So our wedding pictures in the subway.
So me and Rachel are probably in some of those pictures.
Sweet. That's fun.
Why would people get married in Grand Central Station?
Anyways? Well, they didn't get married. They were getting their pictures taken after.
I guess because it's like big and grand.
Yeah.
And central.
Maybe that's where they got engaged or something.
Maybe they got married there. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe that's a
common
thing.
That's where they met.
Maybe that's a common thing
it
for
probably
Grand Central Station.
You should probably
ask next time.
Yeah, you should have just straight...
Excuse me, I love your dress, but what are you doing?
Oh, chica, let me tell you. She'll tell you all about it.
No, you could tell this was one of those
Apparently
weddings that
she speaks
was
Spanish.
Like a $100,000 wedding.
Oh, it was like super fancy?
It was fancy.
Did the groom wear a top hat? And a monocle?
And a monocle, yeah, and a cane.
Because if not, then it wasn't that fancy. I'm just saying.
Sorry.
That's just the
it
way.
It wasn't that fancy.
That's the way things are. That's
Did
how
it look
you
like the planner's peanut?
Yeah. That's how you dictate fancy.
Or Monopoly. Mr. Monopoly.
The Monopoly. Yeah, see? Planner's peanut and the Monopoly man are very fancy gentlemen.
They're icons of fancy.
That's right. Icons of fancy.
And weddings, apparently.
Well, you know, if they were to get married, they would for sure have a top hat and a monocle.
And
probably a cane.
A little bit of Scrooge McDuck
Anyways.
In this picture.
Scrooge McDuck, yes. He's mostly fancy. He doesn't have the monocle.
No, but he's got the attitude.
He does have a swimming pool of money, mm-hmm. so...
He's in the club.
He's in the club. All right, so New York Toy Fair. Our whole Toy Fair experience started with the Four Horsemen Toypocalypse event on Friday night, mm-hmm. which was incredibly crowded.
Yeah.
But that's good for them, because they had a huge turnout for the show, much larger than last year's event. But it was this gallery. It's like a... It's a gallery that's under the Toy Tokyo Toy Store in New York, and it's not very big. It's real long and narrow, and, I mean, it's a gallery. It's set up so they can put display all their toys and everything. And then it was just crammed full with as many people as you could possibly fit down.
You could not walk anywhere.
Let's not even call it a gallery. Let's call it a basement.
Yeah, it's like...
Like a finished basement.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Right. But it's got some nice cases and everything down there, and they had it set up really cool. I mean, they had all their, they had a really cool display set up for all the Outer Spacemen stuff, and they had on display everything that's already been released, as well as showed off, a bunch of the stuff that they're working on for the next few waves, including, they had a cool concept, piece of artwork up for a future Outer Spaceman figure who is the first female Outer Spaceman character, which is really cool. It's their first original character that they're doing for the Outer Spaceman line. It was a character from Earth. It was very cool to see all that. And one of the things I really liked seeing was they actually had these two large display cabinets in the back that were full of the original color forms Outer Spaceman figures from the 1970s, and they were all still mint on card, and it was just... incredibly impressive actually seeing these things in person for the first time, because I've never seen them other than the pictures online, because every time I've ever seen those things show up on eBay, they go for thousands of dollars a piece. It's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, they're very expensive toys.
Huh.
It's just that whole thing where you're like, I don't know, man, everything from the 70s is so much more rare.
Plus, the packaging they used back then was like the cheapest, frailest bubbles, so
yeah.
You could tell they crack really mm-hmm. easy.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of
them
were cracked.
So to see these like
stuff.
In that good of condition was mm-hmm. like kind of impressive.
It was pretty impressive. It was really cool. And they had the cool gallery area set up where there was just a bunch of custom Outer Spaceman figures, so everybody that submitted a custom figure to their gallery display was on display right there. And then they also had a bunch of stuff on display for the Gothitropolis line. A lot of the new figures that they had coming out. Because the next one coming out is the Raven. So they had the Raven, and then they've got all his variants. Like, a couple of his variants were there, too. Like, one of them was this Cardinal, and he was just the coolest-looking figure. I don't know if you saw him. He was like, they had this cool birdcage display with the Cardinal guy inside of it, and he was just awesome-looking. He's so cool. So it was just really neat getting to see all that stuff, and they once again had the original 2000X Masters of the Universe 2 ups on display, which are always amazing to look at in person. So, I mean, it was really cool, and it's just neat to look at all that stuff and talk to those guys, but it was super crowded in there.
Do they have, like, a special relationship with Toy Tokyo? Because it seems like in New York there would be so many places to put that. It just seemed like a weird place.
I would assume that they do. I know that Toy Tokyo sells all their exclusives and stuff, so I don't know if they
are
friends with those guys or what.
I just don't get Toy Tokyo as a store because it's, like, small.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just seems like it seems like that was a grand event for a small store. So, like, they must be friends or something.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm not sure what the relationship is there, but that was a cool little event, and it was a neat way to kind of kick things off. It was really cool to see those guys get that kind of a reaction and that kind of a turnout. You know, I talked to a few of them, and, like, Cornboy was super surprised but very happy that many people were there. And, you know, it just kind of... I felt happy for them that they had that kind of a turnout. I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, we got up, and we head on over to the Time Center to do the long Hasbro event. Now, this is the thing we actually kind of dread doing every year. Not that, you know, we dislike Hasbro or anything. It's always cool to see the new stuff. But the way Hasbro does things is they actually separate themselves from the actual Toy Fair, and they do their own event. And so they do it at their own location, on their own schedule. And what they basically do is the day before Toy Fair starts, they hold this basically all-day event where you have to show up there at noon, and you have to sit through this, like, 3.5 to 4 hour long presentation where you're basically sitting in an auditorium, and they basically go through each by line. So, like the Transformers team comes out, and they talk about upcoming Transformers stuff for the year. Star Wars team comes out, does the same thing. The Marvel team comes out, does the same thing. G.I. Joe comes out, does the same thing. So they go through all four of their major brands. Oh, and then Creo. Creo's one of their big brands now, so there's five brands that they go through. And they basically, you just sit in this auditorium, and it's kind of neat, but it gets to a point where it's just like, oh, this is dragging on, it's so long, we just kind of want to go to the showroom and see the new stuff, you know? And everybody, you get that feeling from everybody that's sitting in there. Everybody's just kind of like,
yeah, come on.
Come on, let's go. So this presentation is several hours long, and finally, once you get through there, they walk you down to their showroom where they've got everything set up, and they've kind of got it all sectioned off. So, like, you know, Transformers is over here, G.I. Joe's over here, Star Wars is over here, and it's just like this big open room, and then along the outskirts is where they put all the other stuff, like Mr. Potato Head, My Little Pony, Play-Doh, all the other things that Hasbro does. Mm-hmm. And so then at that point, it just kind of turns into a mad dash free-for-all where everybody's just running around trying to get as many photos and pictures and video as you possibly can, but
and trying to stay away from the men in black that are everywhere.
Oh man, Hasbro's got some super security. It's hilarious, dude.
They got like Secret Service agents,
yeah,
guarding their toys,
guarding all of their figures, standing right alongside them, making sure you don't get too close to them while you're taking pictures. It's pretty impressive, actually. Yeah, it's pretty neat. So some of the things that they showed off from Hasbro, first of all, this is so strange. The Creo. They're continuing on with the Transformers stuff, which mm-hmm. makes sense.
Right.
But they're also introducing a line of Creo on Battleship, which is that new movie coming out, which is based on a board game, I guess. Loosely based on a board game.
They have movie support, so I guess they decided to go for it.
I guess, yeah. So there's this line of Creo coming out where you're basically, you know, you're building boats and alien ships, and you have little sailor guys and little alien guys. And I'm just like...
It makes sense, but there's no, like, key characters or there's no character base to it. It's basically generic military warships and aliens.
Yeah, and it was really kind of sad because you get in there and not a single person is paying attention to these Creo battleship stuff. Like, everybody runs over to the Creo section and they immediately start photographing and taking video of the Transformer stuff, and everybody's completely ignoring the battleship stuff. Like, you can just tell, like, nobody cares. And it's just, it's going to be interesting to see how these things actually do in retail, because I don't know. That's just...
They're gonna bomb. There's going to be clearance, I guarantee.
I can't see this
movie.
They
look nice. It's just, I don't know why I care.
I can't see this movie generating enough buzz where kids are going to be like, I gots to go out and buy the new battleship toys. You know what I mean?
I could see Lego pulling that off just because they could introduce it into like a new military theme or even into their city theme, and people would just buy it for Lego. But Creo is pretty much unproven at this point, and it's just, what, year two of the brand, and it's basically a Transformer property right now.
Yeah.
So, at least they're trying, I guess.
And I guess that's kind of the only real thing it's got going for it, because Lego hasn't done the military thing still. And so I guess if you kind of want to do the military thing and you don't want to buy the off-brand stuff, you can get the Creo battleship stuff, because it's kind of like that, except they're incorporating these weird aliens, because apparently, all these years, Battleship's been about people versus aliens. I had no idea.
That's what Battleship is about.
Yeah.
You should know.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, they actually had this...
Read the bios.
Oh, my mistake. They had this section of the showroom that was completely dedicated to Battleship and all the merchandising they're doing for it. And it was funny because, like, if you wanted to get away from the crowds, you just go to the Battleship section because nobody was there. But yeah, it was basically just this room where they showed you they were gonna, you know, we got t-shirts and we got water bottles and we got all these new versions of the board game coming out where you're fighting alien ships now, and it was just like,
well,
wow.
They had a huge room set up for like no product because there wasn't nothing they really had. They had this new, the battleship game was new. It's like a briefcase that you slap down and it shoots out two side-by-side stations, which is kind of cool, but...
Yeah.
You know, I wish I would have had that when I was younger, but it's still Battleship.
And they've changed it, though. One side is military boats, and the other side is alien ships now. So it's not just boats versus boats anymore. Now it's boats versus
it's
aliens.
It's still Battleship.
But it's still the same game. You're right. It's the same game.
It was more amazing when they introduced Electronic Battleship, okay?
Electronic Talking Battleship.
Yeah, when they did that from the board
Battleship
game,
hit. I have that.
Yeah, that was amazing.
You do?
This is just the same thing. Over now, they've changed the color of now they're red and they're squiggly shaped. Nothing.
Yeah, and they had like the Creo stuff in that room too. So it's like you can look at the Creo stuff out here or in this room over here with the other battleship stuff. It was silly. I just Hasbro's pushing a little too hard for this battleship thing. But
can't wait till they come out with the Candyland stuff.
Candyland. Yeah, dude. There's going to be a Candyland movie, too. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Battleship Candyland?
Battleship Candyland. Yes, they're going to start merging them. So let's see. What were some of the cool things that they did actually have on display?
Well, G.I. Joe was a small display.
But it was all movie. Pursuit of Cobra. Right. What's the new movie called?
Retaliation.
Yes, G.I. Joe Retaliation. That's what it was, all Retaliation stuff. But honestly, I think that these new movie toys look really cool and look better than the first movie toys.
Oh, yeah. The packaging is going to be better. They don't look cheap. Like, the first year movie figures look cheap. They look...
See, I liked some of those. But I know like that you hated them, but I liked a few of those.
Like, the stuff they have out now, the Pursuit of Cobra and the Renegade stuff they have right now, looks like the 25th anniversary stuff, and that stuff looks great. And the movie stuff, compared to that, looks cheap. Mm. So now, looks like they took a good blend of the two, and this new movie stuff is going to be actually like more like the current, well, I guess now 30th, line that's currently going on. And they're just going to put a movie card on it, which is great because those are better figures. Now, there's nothing really special about these figures except now we're going to get a Rock figure.
And a Bruce Willis. And a Bruce Willis.
So.
Oh, and they looked... The Bruce Willis figure is a must-buy. Probably for anybody. Even if you're not a G.I. Joe collector.
You're a diehard fan.
How cool is it? Yeah. How cool is it to get a 3 3/4 inch Bruce Willis figure? And the sculpt looked awesome on him. So I'm pretty stoked. I got to get that one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll probably pick up the Rock. And I like the Cobra Commander, too. I like the design of Cobra Commander for the new movie.
Yeah, they're actually... looks like they listened to fans and brought back a good look for him.
The helmet.
Got rid of the weird alien look that he had.
Yeah, the weird transparent mask thing he was wearing. He's actually got a helmet on now. So, yeah, I like him. I like a lot of the G.I. Joe stuff that they showed. And I think one of the coolest things is that they actually already revealed the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives for G.I. Joe. The first set of exclusives, we actually did talk about them on the podcast before Toy Fair. But it's, oh gosh, what is her name? I can't even...
Well, it's Jinx, right? But they had to rename her.
Yeah, they had to rename her because they couldn't use that name for some reason, so they just used her real name. So there's two versions of her at San Diego. One's wearing the white outfit, one's wearing the red outfit. But then I think the more notable exclusive, or the one that's going to catch a lot more attention, is the new Transformers G.I. Joe crossover vehicle, which is Shockwave as the Hiss Tank. And the things that was so cool about this is, I mean, first of all, it's the Hiss Tank, and it's painted purple like Shockwave, and it's got, like, you know, the cannon on top that looks like it would be like, you know, Shockwave's... And it's got the Decepticon logo on it. And it comes with a Destro figure that is wearing a purple Decepticon uniform, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with the briefcase full of money again. Mm-hmm. And it's full of... didn't it actually have some kind of Transformer...
There's a story... Yeah, the... it's... And plus it comes with a bat.
Yeah, it comes with a bat that looks like a Constructicon, was what it was, I think. He's colored like one, and
they try to make a story that they made a deal, G.I. Joe, and you know the Shockwave made. They were going to trade cash for Energon, so you're getting like a story kit because there's like a couple of crates of Energon and there's a briefcase of money. So
yeah.
you can see that they're trying to make it, you know, put some play into this figure. Although I'm probably never going to open it. I'm just going to keep it in package and put it with my my other one from last year.
Starscream, yeah. Well, it also comes with a little mini Soundwave boombox for Destro to hold, which is amazing.
Yeah, a lot of details this time.
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, that's what makes this so cool, is that they put so much, like, detail and effort into this. Like, this feels like an exclusive, you know? Like, you're really getting something special here. You're getting all those little extra bits. I mean, you're getting two action figures with all those accessories, plus a Hiss Tank that's colored like Shockwave. I mean, come on, that is awesome. That is already, like... probably in the running for best exclusive at this year's Comic-Con.
Yep.
So that's fantastic. I thought that was awesome.
It's on fire.
On fire. All right, so moving on, they had they did have a bunch of new Transformers stuff on display. A lot of the things that they were showing off were stuff from the new Prime cartoon, which have been very popular. A lot of people are really liking the Prime stuff. They also showed off the new stuff from the Fall of Cybertron video game, which I thought was looking really cool. And one of the things they did finally show off was the fully built Bruticus.
Yep.
Because they're going to have all the, was it the Combaticons, right? They formed together to make Bruticus. So very cool looking. And I know a lot of people are very excited to get a Bruticus, finally.
And we saw the game. Gameplay of the actual game.
They did actually show us gameplay.
Which is, if you like the first game, it's going to be very similar. It's just, now you're going to get these new characters in it. So
I need to. I've never even played
the game first one. The game is all. It's kind of like it's kind of like playing Halo, but the best part of it is all the voices and, and the story.
I was going to say it like just it looks like it's so epic. It looks like I would actually really enjoy playing that game. So I probably need to try it sometime. But I do like all of the figures that are coming out based off that game. I liked the first few that they did based off the first game. I just thought those were really cool designs. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see that they're doing more this time. Because last time we got like three or four. This time they're actually doing a couple waves of characters from the new video game. So I think that's a good move on Hasbro's part. Very cool. Another new Transformers thing they showed off, which I actually thought were really cool, are the Botshots. And these are like these new little tiny Transformer guys that are made for little kids, basically. But they're just little, like, 2-inch tall robots, and they fold into whatever vehicle they're supposed to do. It's very simple transformation. But it's like a gameplay thing going on. They've actually got a little flip thing in their chest. It's like a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing. It kind of reminds me of Battle Beast a little bit, in a way. But basically, the way they work is, like, you're supposed to set which thing you're choosing on his chest, and then you fold them into vehicle mode, and then when the two people who are playing slam the vehicles into each other, the bumpers on the front cause an automatic transformation into the robots, and then that reveals what their chest weapon is showing, and then you do the rock, paper, scissors thing to see who won the battle. And they're very simple, and you know, it's just a kind of a fun little game that I think kids will really like, but I just thought the designs of these little guys were neat. I mean, they're just really short, little, tiny Transformer guys, and
they were fun. Real simple, you know? And probably not going to be that expensive, so.
Yeah. I thought they were pretty cool, actually. Like, those really caught my attention, so. They're catching the attention of a guy who's not a regular Transformers purchaser. I think they did something right. And I think kids will actually really like those. I really do. Okay, Star Wars. Star Wars had a lot to show off again. I kind of always do that thing where I fall out of Star Wars, and then they always kind of do a few things that catch my attention again here and there. But, you know, for the most part, I haven't really been buying a lot of Star Wars stuff this past year. I think what they're doing with the Vintage Collection is fantastic, and those are absolutely some of the best stuff they've done. It's just kind of one of those things where I had to start choosing priorities over what I could buy and what I couldn't buy.
Plus, they're on, like, wave, what, 400?
Oh, man, yeah, no kidding. So Star Wars had to take a back seat after the first couple waves of Vintage stuff because I couldn't keep up with it anymore. But there was a lot of really nice-looking stuff coming out. Some of the things that that really stood out to me that they're doing for the Vintage Collection, because now they're expanding into some of that expanded universe territory. It's not just the movie stuff anymore. And they're doing, like, a Ahsoka and a Obi-Wan Kenobi and Clone Trooper outfit from the Clone Wars cartoon, but they're doing it realistic movie style for the Vintage Collection. And I love when they do that kind of thing. So they're basically taking characters like Ahsoka, who's a, you know, main character in the cartoon series, and they're transforming her to look as if she was out of the movies instead, and they're making an action figure of her, and I thought it was awesome looking. So that's one I'm probably going to want to run out and buy. I think that was a really cool idea. I love when they do that.
So I think they're telling us they're going to make a Clone Wars live action
movie. Oh, is that what they're doing?
Yeah, clearly. Clearly.
Clearly. That's yes, clearly.
So you heard it here first.
So the big news, I think, from Star Wars was they announced their San Diego Comic-Con exclusive also. And it's going to be another one of those giant sets that comes with numerous figures, just like last year. Last year they did the Death Star. This year they're doing the carbon freezing chamber. So it looks like the chamber where Han Solo was frozen in carbonite. And all the way around it, it's going to have carded figures that you can see each of the figures on their card backs. I'm trying to remember, what was the difference on
them? They were lost. Oh, the lost card backs.
That's what it is. They're lost card backs. And I guess these are going to still get released in stores, just like the figures last year, but the card backs are going to be different in the stores. So the only way to get these special car backs with this carbon freezing chamber boxes if you buy it at San Diego. Now, the one key major exclusive, I'm going to call it the major exclusive because this is the thing that everybody got so excited about. Their fun part of the exclusive is that they are doing Jar Jar Binks frozen in carbonite, which got such a hilarious reaction. Like, people applauded for that. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
I like so, Jar Jar.
So that's totally gonna be like Jar Jar and carbonite. That's a must-have figure for Star Wars collectors. I mean, come on, that's so unique and silly. Why wouldn't you own that?
And it's like the biggest inside joke that
everybody... Yeah, exactly. It's just a huge inside joke. You know, it's like, aha, Jar Jar's a carbonite. You know,
yeah, for you.
Take that. So I thought that was great. And I always love it when you can see them show off a sense of humor like that, and you know,
and then
they know.
And then the other exclusive, which is the troop transport.
Yeah, that huge troop transport. That's the big vehicle for this year.
What is that, the MTT?
It's the, I forget what it's called, but it's the huge vehicle from Episode 1.
Motorized troop transport. That might be it, MTT.
Oh, your phone is ringing. It's the big vehicle from Episode 1 that all the battle droids show up in. And what is cool about it is it comes with, like, what? It was like 20 some battle droids comes with the vehicle, mm-hmm. but all but I think two or four of them, like only two to four of them are like actually articulated. The rest of them are just in static poses.
But they have arm movement.
But they do, yeah, you can still move their arms. But what's cool about it is it actually does have a feature where the front of it extends and the battle droids are, you know, actually, you know, positioned on it like they are in the movie. So like the front of it extends and it pops out and it lines all the battle droids up into marching position. And it's really cool. And they do have it actually designed in a way where if you want to buy the battle droids from the vintage collection so that you have all articulated droids, they can all fit in there. So the motorized function will still work with those battle droids.
That would be expensive.
It would be very expensive, but you know people are going to do it. You know it's going to happen. So it was a really cool vehicle. I do not think this is one that I'm going to actually purchase this time, though.
I'm sure it's too expensive. Anyway.
Yeah, it'll be another $100 vehicle at least. And, you know, it's an Episode 1 vehicle, and I'm not that excited. I mean, I thought it was really cool, but it's not one I feel like I have to own, like the Millennium Falcon or the AT-AT. But still really cool. And I think it's neat that Hasbro keeps doing another giant vehicle every year. I like that. I think that's cool. So the only, was
Marvel
that?
Marvel properties.
Oh, the Marvel properties. That's right. That's the last thing. They had Amazing, Marvel Legends.
Well, they had the Spider-Man.
That's right.
Amazing Spider-Man, toys for the upcoming movie. Nothing there special. The only thing that was kind of cool is they had this, like, Spider-Man that could suck to the wall and climb up the wall.
Yeah. He's really weird looking, though.
It's like, it uses vacuum technology where it actually, like, sucks to the, it's like a RC controlled Spider-Man figure that sucks to the wall, and then you can drive him up and down your walls and stuff. So that's kind of cool. It might be fun to, you know, drive your animal pets crazy or impress your kids, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
But nothing special. And then they have this like 10 or 12 inch Spider-Man that has like this whipping action that it can do.
Yeah, it's just like a string.
Yeah,
and it's like it whips it and then it sucks it back in and it whips it on this side and it sucks it. It's really weird.
So if you have, you know, younger siblings, you want to torture and smack them in the face, you know, like
yeah,
that's the only way
to do that.
That's the only thing I could see you doing with that thing is smacking somebody in the face.
They always come out with really goofy Spider-Man toys. You ever notice that? Like for all these movies, they're just like, let's go crazy with these weird Spider-Man toys.
So they get that, and then they had the Avenger stuff, which is mostly our role-playing gear. Not too many, I don't think... I don't
they didn't have a lot of figures on display. They did have the Helicarrier on display, which mm-hmm. was really neat. It's nice and big, and they had, like, a bunch of the action figures posed on top of it so you could see what it looked like and everything, and they had, like, the Quinjet and some of the other flying vehicles set up around it. So those figures are all pretty neat, and it's funny because we actually saw all of those figures in the store that weekend, too, because Toys R Us had them in stock already. And, I mean, they're neat-looking figures. Most of them look exactly the same as the ones from the previous Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man
just
lines.
Repackaged. It's
just, now we've got a Hulk to go with them, you know?
Like, they totally ripped them out of the packages and stuck them on new cards.
Stuck them on new cards. But, I mean, they're still good figures, you know? So, those are pretty cool, and I'm sure a lot of people will be picking those up. And I'm sure that Helicarrier is going to be popular. I have no doubt about that. Yeah, so then around on the other side, you got to the Marvel Universe stuff, which they're still pumping out that Marvel Universe like crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe how many characters they're getting to on that. And I think the big one that they finally revealed that they're finally doing is the Amazing Bagman.
Yeah.
Spider-Man with the paper bag on his head wearing the Fantastic Four costume. So it's been like one of the most fan-requested figures, like, you know, since the Toy Biz days of Marvel Legends. And they're finally doing that in figure form. So kind of funny. And it's going to be one that everybody's going to want. I guarantee it. Everybody's going to want that.
And then, of course, they have the Marvel Legends.
Which wasn't really anything real new. It was, they had the first two waves on set, on display, and wave two is already starting to hit stores right now, apparently. So it wasn't really, they didn't really show us anything too super new. I think they went over some stuff in the slideshow demonstration.
But it was so whatever, I don't
even remember. I can't even really remember exactly what it was, so that's our apologies.
Well, the Build-A-Figure was something with a TV screen in its stomach.
Yeah, that's I can't remember who that was. That's Aaron Zola, and that's Wave 2's Build-A-Figure.
Okay.
And there's two versions of it, because you've got the variant version has Red Skull on the screen. Yeah.
So, whatever. That's
whatever.
That's that, and it should be more amazing, but it wasn't. So, and it was Milo, and then My Little Pony Friendship is Magic figures, which everybody seems to care about, were there. And
yeah. Well, I think one of the big things about those that were there is they actually had the ones that were on display that people really seem to care about are the ones that are actually colored like the characters in the cartoon series. So they actually resemble the way the characters look in the cartoon series. That's the way that they're finally making these figures. And I think they told me they were going to be Toys R Us exclusives, that particular set was. But yeah, that actually seemed to be a pretty hot thing, because a lot of people were very excited to see those. And that's really funny, because that totally gets no fanfare for this event. It's just one of the little side things sitting in the back of the room
Really, like, they must be totally out of touch with their fan base right now, because the bronies have, like, come out in flocks.
Yeah.
That should have been a major property.
They did show us, they actually did a very small presentation on it, though, if you remember. They showed us a small clip from the cartoon series and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they kind of know.
Well, that was for Hasbro Studios presentation. So that was covering just the cartoon itself.
Yeah.
But they should have known, like, it's hot right now, and they should grab it and run with it right now, and they're not.
Right.
So.
Cool. All right. Well, that's all of Hasbro, and it took half of our podcast because, you know, Hasbro takes half of Toy Fair. So that's
true.
That's
true.
The way it works. So why don't we go and take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll try to run through some of the other things that were notable from the actual Toy Fair event the next day.
Spike. And now, Spike, where let's see how He-Man likes your... Ow!
Skeletor, Spike-Or, and He-Man figures each sold separately.
Spike-Or.
No one can stop the spike-studded armor of the mighty Spike-Or.
He-Man.
Not even me, you muscle-bound porcupine.
Not even you, He-Man.
Spike-Or is new from the Masters of the Universe collection. Other action figures each sold separately. From Mattel.
The turtles are assaulting the Texadrome! Insider the Foot Clan prep and storage chamber, Krang's laboratory, and Shredder's master control room!
Huh? Turtles? Oh, they've been spotted!
Now they'll have to watch out for the iSpy radar! That hit news pit! The spike back door!
Turtle time!
Oh no! An ooze scanner, a brain scrambler, and mutant manacles! Can Leonardo rescue them?
Sure hope so!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles!
From Playmates!
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. All right, so Sunday rolls around, and it's time to actually get up at the butt crack of dawn, because now we have to go to the LEGO event, who, you know, they decide every year that they're just going to go ahead and have their event at 7 o'clock in the freaking morning, before, which is like several hours before Toy Fair even opens, but, you know, it is what it is. So we get up at 6 and catch a cab, and we head over to the Javits, and we go to the LEGO event. So,
I'm still nice and cozy in my bed.
Yes, and Christina slept in the hotel.
It wasn't so bad this year. We actually went to bed decently. And
you did?
No. The night before, we went out to the bar.
Yeah,
and then...
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, I was a zombie the whole day. That's why I don't remember.
That was we made a mistake going out Saturday night.
We had some great chili dogs.
But we did
it seemed easier to wake up this time. It was just hard to stay awake during the day.
Yeah, like I got up moving fine, but it did drag. So we get to the LEGO thing, and It was, you know, it was cool. They showed off some new stuff there. I'll let you go ahead and talk about it. It's kind
of
your thing.
Okay, well, let's see. So, of course, they have all their major properties there. And they have the new Snakemans, or I'm sorry, the Ninjago is the way they pronounce it, stuff there. And, of course, they reveal most notably who the Green Ninja is in some of the sets they show off there, which is apparently the big deal about that series. So they had those. They had a ton of new Star Wars stuff, including the announcement that they did reacquire the Star Wars license for another 10 years, which...
Wow.
You know, which means we're going to get nonstop more LEGO Star Wars stuff for 10 more years.
They did have a few cool Star Wars things, though. They had Jabba the Hutt's palace.
Yeah.
Which looks awesome. Like, it's got a big LEGO Jabba the Hutt in it and a bunch of the little aliens, and I just thought that was super cool. And then on top of that, they're also doing the Sarlacc pit, which has got a new Boba Fett. It's like a more detailed Boba Fett than they've ever done before. And I thought those were awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're getting kind of a little ridiculous with all the ships and stuff. Now they're actually giving us movie scenes, which...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, the palace, that's perfect.
Jabba's palace looks so cool.
The Sarlacc pit, yeah, that was great. So that we got those two things coming out. The rest of the stuff is going to be some rehashes of older stuff they've done, just reimagined and updated, which is great because when you get the new stuff, it makes the old stuff look like complete garbage. they did show off that they're going to have two more waves of the LEGO blind box minifigures. Of course, they had no art to go with those boxes, so we have no idea what Series 6 and 7 will entail, because they had no pictures of the figures, even on the boxes. Just had mock-ups there. So, at least we know we're getting two more waves. No idea what they're going to be yet. Going on, they had a new property called Monster Fighters.
Yeah, those look cool.
Which is a like a cross between Universal Monsters meets like Van Helsing. It's like a real gothic explorers fighting off classic monsters, including, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, Creature from Black Lagoon, stuff like that. Although they're not officially titled that, that's exactly what they are.
Yeah. And the heroes from that line do look like they're right out of the Explorers line, mm-hmm. if you notice. Like, they totally look like those characters. And, yeah, I mean, the sets were awesome. They had this ghost train, which I loved, because it actually had a bunch of ghosts on it that looked like the old ghosts from the old Knight sets. Right. And I was just like, this is a cool-looking set. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, that's great.
So that'll probably be just like a one-wave thing. I don't know if that'll last, but if you're going to buy Legos this year, I guarantee you those will be the rare, expensive Legos coming out for the following year.
It seems like those sets have garnered the most buzz mm-hmm. from Toy Fair. That's the ones that I see the most people talking about.
It was just completely unexpected.
Yeah.
It's dropped on us. Now, they also did show off the Marvel Superheroes line figures. You know, nothing new coming out for DC for a while, but then now they're going to have the Marvel stuff, which is pretty much going to be Avenger stuff.
Yeah, it's all Avengers. Except there was like one comic set that had Magneto, Wolverine, and Deadpool in it.
Yeah, which... Awesome.
Which was cool. I mean, a little Deadpool minifigure? How awesome is that? That is super sweet.
But yeah, there's a Captain America, like kind of like how the Catwoman on DC has a motorcycle figure. There's a Captain America motorcycle figure mini box set. There's the Quinjet. I believe it was one of the sets in there. And there was like a laboratory scene, which must be out of the movie. I don't know. So they had those.
And I'm pretty certain that one of the LEGO ladies said that what's already out for DC is all they're doing for this year for DC. Mm. And then they're moving to Marvel. So I don't know if that means they're going to do new Marvel and DC sets next year, or if that's just it and that's all we're getting. I have no idea. I guess we'll find out.
That's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
But so they have that. And then, of course, they have the LEGO City, which included everything that's pretty much just now hitting the market. I didn't see nothing new. It's all, you know... the Mounties now, the Mounted Police, the Rocky Mountain Police, I guess would be called. And then on the LEGO, and then of course they have the LEGO's Friends is still getting expanded, including a couple new sets there for all the LEGO Girl Likers. And then of course one other big announcement that was there that was really kind of not really being reported, just shown, that apparently they have a Disney license. Because uh-huh. Duplo is doing princesses.
Yeah, I showed those to you, didn't I?
Couple small Disney princess sets. They only had like four, maybe.
You didn't show me those.
I need to.
But they're Duplo, so they're like, you know, 20 piece, you know, definitely for little kids, but it's...
Yeah, they have like Disney princess Duplo figures. They were really cool.
But I guess that makes sense. Disney owns Marvel, so they must have had a little sub deal there to get those in.
Probably. And I'm sure those will be quite popular with little girls. I mean, I think that's a really
But they, cool I thing. Mean, I didn't hear it's nothing about it. Aurora. And they just had like four little things like pushed in with their other Duplo stuff, like not even really out in the front.
It was the first thing I noticed when I walked in because I went the opposite way from the crowd because I was like, well, I'll go around the back way and I'll start taking pictures of the stuff that nobody's at yet. And I turned that corner and I was like, Disney stuff? Click, 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 click. And I just, that was where I started. Oh, that was kind of neat.
So, I mean, that's I guess that's pretty much Lego. For, I mean, Marvel, Star Wars is finally getting some decent sets and not a bunch of crap like they've been putting out lately. Well, I mean, they ran that license dry. I can't believe they're going to do 10 more years. I mean, that seems insane to me, unless they have future projects planned out down the road, like new movies, new something coming out that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's no way you could pump out 10 more years of the same stuff you've been already doing. So... Yeah, that's pretty much it. It looks like the Ninja stuff right now is kind of leading the way for Lego. It's the most popular.
Yeah, they had a huge section for that Ninja stuff still. It was like a whole aisle just to itself.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That was it. I mean, as Lego does, they pump stuff out unannounced, randomly, all the time. Check Toys R Us out because apparently they have a deal with Satan to get everything months before anybody else.
All right. Okay, so from Lego, we kind of wandered around a little bit. We looked through Cotobukiya, saw the new statues coming out. We went through Mezco. Mm-hmm. Some notable things coming from Mezco include the 6-inch Earthworm Jim action figure, which we got to see in person, and the 6-inch Mars Attacks alien Martian figure, which both were very cool looking.
They were perfect.
Awesome looking figures. Another thing that Mezco's got the license to now is SpongeBob SquarePants, and they're actually doing, like, an adult collector's line of SpongeBob figures, and they were, like, super detailed and really nice looking. So if you're, like, you know, you're an adult fan of the SpongeBob cartoons, you'll probably really like these figures that they're doing.
And they're continuing on with the Living Dead dolls, and then they also are doing a new wave of zombie plush that they did last year, so they're having three new characters. They're adding into that for anybody who cares. That's just like, I guess it worked out really well for them. So they're doing another zombie plush, you know, 5-inch mini random no name characters.
Cool. They're continuing on with the Little Big Planet license. They actually have a new wave of those figures coming out, as well as Little Big Planet minifigures that they're doing. They're doing, looks like little blind box minifigures.
Which
of
are
Sackboy.
Super nice.
Yeah, they're really cool. Very cool. And then they had the Thundercats Mega Scale figures on display. They had the Lion-O, the Mum-Ra, and the Panthro, all of which I thought were fantastic looking.
Whatever.
Awesome.
Who cares?
I do.
So
I thought they were fantastic.
Who cares? That's important.
NECA. We stopped by NECA. NECA had some really nice stuff on display. Notably, they had all of the new Rocky stuff on display, including Dolph Lundgren and Mr. T. They had figures for Mr. T and Drago there, which were really cool.
And then they had another wave of the Gremlins.
Yes, the Gremlin stuff looks so cool. Holy crap. A bunch of Gremlins and Mogwai on display. They totally had the female Gremlin.
Yep, and they had the electric one.
Yeah.
Which is just basically a solid PVC display piece and not really a figure, but it looks perfect if
That's
you remember
cool.
him from the movie.
Yeah.
And then they're expanding their horror collection and video game lines, introducing new characters to the various properties they have, like BioShock and, oh God, what is the other one out there? The, whatever. And it, but most notably, they have a lot more of the Nightmare on Elm Street figures coming out, including the Freddy Krueger with the syringes as fingers, and they have the puppet Freddy Krueger figure out there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they're kicking out their Hunger Games property and actually turning those into figures now.
Force, dude. They had so much product for Hunger Games. And the E.T. figures. They had the E.T. figures on display, which was, they were all just different versions of E.T. himself. Like, the one where he was, like, all in drag and everything, where he was, you know, trying to be disguised, and the one where he's wrapped in the blanket from the bicycle, and he's got one that comes with a little C and say. They were all really cool-looking little figures. Very, very neat. I actually really like those E.T. figures. So Bandai, we go to Bandai. Here's something fun to talk about. Bandai primarily focused on the same two big properties that they always seem to focus on, because it's kind of like their bread and butter, Ben 10 and Power Rangers. These were the things that they were trumpeting the largest out of everything in their entire booth. They really had a huge section set up for Power Rangers Samurai, and they showed us all the new Zords coming out and all the new Ranger figures. A lot, huge display. Had a cool little sizzle reel to show us.
To which Sky Cash goes, yeah, I have all that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. they showed off a ton of Ben 10 stuff coming out for the new cartoon series. They had this... They were super pushing this Pac-Man plug-and-play game, which I was like, really? Like, how many times has Pac-Man been released now as a plug-and-play?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
And what was funny is, like, you guys told a guy who never played it before.
Yeah.
And he absolutely believed it.
Yeah, he's like, who here hasn't played Pac-Man? And I was like, this guy? And he goes, really? Come over here and play it!
And I was like...
So he started explaining Pac-Man to Danny.
I'm like, are you serious? Like, who hasn't played Pac-Man? Like, I challenge you to find somebody who hasn't ever played it.
That was fun. So then there's the Thundercat stuff. And this has kind of been a big issue of debate, I think. But it's funny because everybody who's at Toy Fair kind of has the same general feeling that I think we do on this scenario. The Thundercats display was very small at the Bandai booth. It was just a small little table which had everything that's in stores right now on it. There was not a single new thing on this table. It was all things that have been out in stores. The only thing on there that is probably the newest thing is the 6-inch Tigra figure, because he's just now hitting stores. Other than that, everything else is like, I mean, we've already known about all this stuff. But they still did a walkthrough with it, you know, so we let her go through the walkthrough.
Which was the saddest walkthrough ever. It's like, yeah, you already know this.
Here's Thundercats. Yep, this is Thundercats. Yeah, they were so excited about Power Rangers and Ben 10, and then Thundercats, they're just like, oh, this thing's called Thundercats, I think. Yep, here you go. Like, it was pretty sad. And we got through the presentation, and I asked the brand manager there that was giving us the walkthrough. I said, so do you guys have any other plans beyond what you're showing us here? And she says, we have nothing to announce at this time. And I was just like, okay. So then I brought up the unpainted joints thing, because I was like, I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times by now, but I need to bring this up. You guys, I'm sure you know that there's been a ton of complaints about how there's all these unpainted joints on the figures and exposed screws. Do you guys have any plans to, like, do anything about this? And I totally got that PR mumbo-jumbo that was just like, well, we can't, you know, just turn on and off the machine, and it takes a lot of tooling dollars to fix something like that. So we have no plans to correct this at this time, but we are aware of the compliance. And it's just like, ah, great. Okay, awesome.
She looks so depressed. Like, I'm pretty sure that job, like, there's nothing coming up.
And that's the thing. Like, they just, and they were like, we got through that, and they were just quickly ready just to move us on to the next thing. You know, like, they didn't want to sit there and talk to us about it. And I talked to several other people who went through the same thing as us with Bandai, and the general consensus is that, yeah, that line may not be doing so well, because this is Toy Fair. This is New York Toy Fair. This is the event where you're supposed to bring product, not necessarily to show us, but to show retailers and buyers, to say, this is what we're going to have this year. Buy this and put it in your stores. And other people have pointed out to me, which I totally didn't even think of at the time, but Bandai doesn't go to anything else for the entire year. They only go to New York Toy Fair. They're never at San Diego Comic-Con. Last year, there was a small Thundercats display at the Warner Brothers booth, but Bandai themselves was not there. Bandai doesn't do anything else besides New York Toy Fair. So it's really strange that they had nothing new to show us at the biggest toy show of the year, where they're trying to sell their product to retailers. And on top of that, Cartoon Network still has not announced the return for the cartoon. That doesn't necessarily mean it's not coming back, because there is kind of like rumors saying that it's supposed to be hitting back sometime in March, but I don't know, guys. I have a bad feeling that this is...
If you remember last year, they were like...
Last year, they
were... Super excited. Uh-huh.
Thundercats! And they had a huge section just like Power Rangers of Ben 10. They were so excited to show us everything. And the sad thing is a lot of things that were there this year, some of that was in last year's display. You know? And it's just like, oh, man. It's night and day from last year to this year.
Instead of being excited, it's more like they're on their phone texting somebody. Yeah, this is the Thundercats stuff. Whatever.
And it's like, I hope for the best, especially for all the diehard Thundercat fans out there. I want to see this succeed. I want that cartoon to live on. I want there to be more product. I just don't have a good feeling about it right now. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. I mean, I don't want to be doom and gloom. We'll see what happens. They did not have a good showing at Toy Fair, though. Alright, so moving on from Bandai, we'll jump into Mattel. It was probably the next big thing that we went to. Mm-hmm. It was the same standard kind of setup it is every year. It was just kind of a big open showroom. Toy Guru gave his little presentation about all of the properties, which you can find videos of online. Hey, we have them on our site.
Hey, tell them about the guy.
Oh, man. Well, you can see it. I'm not going to sit here and, like, try to bag on anybody, but you can
come on.
You can watch it in the video where Scott gets kind of grilled about female action figures in retail stores and how Scott was just like, you know, they don't sell well in stores. That's just the truth, and he's right. I mean, that's we always complain about, you know, not being or why the female figure's harder to find, but, I mean, that's the truth. Little kids don't want to buy those. And so he kind of got into an argument with somebody who was basically telling him that he was wrong, and that was interesting.
Yeah, watch that video because it's funny.
Yeah, well, there's lots of comments
about it. It's awkward and funny.
It's fun. There's lots of comments about it. Like, if you look online, yeah. So, as far as, like, stuff that kind of stood out at Mattel, let's see. Ghostbusters, there wasn't anything new there except they had the fully painted version of Dana, which is really nice looking. Before, they just had the unpainted version, so now she's fully painted. They didn't show anything else new other than that. They did say that they are still supposed to be revealing some kind of special gift for everybody that subscribed to the Ghostbusters line, kind of, you know, an apologetic gift about the whole shortening of the line or the subscriptions or whatever, but they didn't have that actually at Toy Fair. A lot of people kept asking me what it was. They didn't have it. They just said that they were still going to be announcing it. As far as DC stuff, they had lots of Young Justice on display. They did have a lot of the, I guess it's the final JLU figures, which they just keep doing more final JLU figures, which I think is hilarious, but people love that stuff.
And what's
so
funny is he said he still had like two other characters he hadn't released yet. They're trying to figure out how to get out there. So there,
like,
might be another final.
Keep coming. But you know what? They've got a huge fan base, so I'm happy for all those collectors that keep getting their JLU stuff. They did have some really cool, like, two-ups for the new DC Universe Classic stuff that's going to be online. Notably, they had the Poison Ivy sculpt there, which looked fantastic. I loved it. Trying to think. Oh, yeah, lots of the WWE stuff there. Was there anything?
And a prop replica.
The hoverboard.
Hoverboard.
Yes, they had the Back to the Future hoverboard on display, which, unfortunately, they weren't allowing people to actually take photos or videos of the hoverboard itself because it was hasn't been approved by the studio yet. Like, they're still waiting. Was it Fox that owns Back to the Future? They're still waiting on Fox to give the okay.
There's
That's
clearly
why.
Pictures taken over.
But people were taking pictures over the whole time. They did have, like, a display board with the information on it that I took a picture of that. And I was just like, I'll be nice. I'll not take a picture of the thing that they told us not to. But it was kind of neat because after everybody left and I was still there, Scott did let us play with it a little bit. And we were sliding it across the floor to see how it worked and everything. It's really cool. It's like, basically, the way he explained it is the bottom of the board is made out of that same material that they make those little discs out of that you put under furniture to make furniture easy to move across the floor. So it doesn't actually hover, but it glides across the floor. And it works really well because that was a carpeted floor and it was just like, it just went right across it. So it's supposed to go across most floors. I assume, like, real shaggy carpet, it's not going to work as well.
Did it make the noise?
No, they didn't have the electronics in it yet. He says it will eventually have electronics in it so that when you slide it across the floor, it'll make the whooshing noise, like from the movies. And he also, I did specifically ask him, because I know people want to stand on this, even though they can't do anything. I asked him if he'd be able to stand on it, and he says they're trying to get it to where there's a 200-pound weight limit on it so that people can stand on it if they want to. He says he didn't know for sure if they were going to be able to work that out yet, but they were trying because he knows, just like me, that people are going to go, yeah, and they're going to want to stand on it. You know, I mean, it's, if you're told not to stand on it, how tempted are you going to be to stand on that?
You're going to want to try to glide on that.
Seriously. I thought that was really cool, though. And it's, I mean, it makes perfect sense, man. It's got the big Mattel logo on it, just like the one in the movie. I mean,
that movie pretty much gave them ownership of that.
Yeah, right? It's awesome. It's so cool. So I think that's such a neat prop replica to have, too. I think that's great. And then I guess the other big thing there was, of course, the Masters of the Universe stuff, which everybody's been discussing at length already. The only new things they had on display was Frosta, which I think a lot of people kind of knew already was coming. Spikor, which looks awesome. So excited about Spikor. They had a Snake Man Army Builder 2-pack, which was surprising but very cool. He's actually comes with four different heads, which are all different sculpts. So you can buy two packs and have four Snake Men. It's kind of cool. And then they had the new 30th anniversary figure created by Jeff Johns, Sir Laserlot. Or as the internet is already calling him, Sir Lasertag. You know what? I will say this. I think the idea of a knight using laser weapons is a cool idea for a character. However,
very Filmation.
He's all bright blue and red, and I think that's what hurts his appearance. He's, like, so gaudy looking. You know what I mean?
They did say that. That was in the final.
Yeah, and they did, and Scott said that they're still looking for ways to kind of break up all that blue. I think they're going to try to put, like, a red belt or red trunks on him or something, just to kind of break up all that blue. But I just, like, if he was colored more like a knight, like if he was like silver, more silvery or bronzish looking, I think I'd have liked him a lot more. Because, like I said, I think the idea of a knight works well for Masters of the Universe, especially one that's using laser weapons. The name is goofy as hell, but you know, whatever. It's you know, this is a line that has guys like Fisto and, you know, Buzz Off. Come on, Sir Laserlot's not that bad. But I don't know, man. He's getting a lot of hate. I knew it was going to happen. So, what can you do? You know, what can you do? And Voltron. Here's another interesting tidbit. So they had the Voltron stuff on display. It's the exact same stuff we saw at San Diego. It's just the classics, the Lion Force stuff for this year, for the subscription. They had nothing else to show for Voltron. And it was asked if they were planning to go forward with the Voltron Force stuff, which is the toys based on the new cartoon series, because they did show prototypes at San Diego. They haven't talked about them since San Diego. And they don't have anything further at this time. They just said they're still looking into the possibility of doing toys based off the new cartoon series. So I'm not sure really what to take from that. I don't know if that means that it's probably not going to happen. I mean, it's really kind of strange considering that that cartoon's been on for almost a full year now, and we still don't have toys for it. I don't know.
Maybe they're just waiting for San Diego to drop a bomb.
They could. They might be. Maybe it'll be a big San Diego thing.
Well, Vehicle Voltron? Not happening.
Yeah, exactly. More notably, Vehicle Force Voltron is not happening. In fact, the words they used was, it's a pipe dream. So I'm thinking that once they get done with Voltron Classics this year, you build the full Lion Force Voltron, that's probably all we're going to see of Voltron. Unless they do Voltron Force stuff. Otherwise, I think that's it. I know I've seen some people say, you know, maybe next year they'll do villains and a build a Robeast. I don't see that happening for the main reason that you can sell the Lions separate to build Voltron because at least the Lions are standalone figures. Nobody's going to spend $50 to buy a giant arm for a guy that you'll be able to build at the end of the year. I mean, that's just, you know, that's all there is to it.
Oh, for Masters also, that they're going to take a second attempt at the Wind Raider?
Yes! Wind Raider's going back on sale. Yeah.
To maybe re-spark the idea of vehicles?
Yes. So, they're doing that because they said, you know, they came out with that big thing. They were like, yeah, the Wind Raider didn't sell as good as we wanted it to, so we're not sure if we can keep doing vehicles. And everybody was like, that doesn't make any sense. The Wind Raider sold out in like 2 days. What do you mean didn't sell out good enough? So they're putting the Wind Raider back on sale. They're giving it a second run, seeing if there is an interest in the market for vehicles. So if you guys missed the Wind Raider, you got another shot at it. I don't remember when exactly he said, but I'm sure they'll be announcing it on Maddie Collector.
I thought it was San Diego is where they're going to resell.
That might be what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Wind Raider will be back, and that's cool because that's an awesome, awesome toy. So if you missed it, you had another chance at it. Very cool. Okay, that's all there really was going on with Mattel. And I guess the last thing we need to talk about is...
We got one more. Mega Brands.
Oh, Mega Brands.
We totally forgot about that one.
Go with
so we went to Mega Brands, which is the Mega Bloks maker, and they also make a bunch of other, like, artsy, Crayola-style stuff there, but let's just focus on the Mega Bloks. They are coming out with a Smurf sets, which we saw
very first. Cool looking.
Very cool.
Very cool looking.
Very true to the cartoon, and, yes. And it actually works really well.
I might buy one or two of those little ones. They were neat, little Smurf sets.
And they're also expanding the Halo line. More stuff, a lot more stuff coming out. So it looks like they're doubling up that line completely. And then, let's see, there's something else besides the last thing.
They're doing Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man movie Mega Bloks. They got the license to do that. Which I thought was interesting that Lego's doing the Avengers, but Mega Bloks is doing Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
It is weird. They must have... Well, of course, Disney will sell your license to anybody. But,
and that's true. That's true.
And then most notably, which we couldn't even take photos of, is that they're doing the World of Warcraft figures.
Yeah. And they are very cool looking. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not even a World of Warcraft player by any means. I've never played that game. These were awesome looking, like, sets. I mean, these play sets were so cool.
It looks like they took a lot of detail and they even used better materials to make it more of a collector style. So you're going to get, like, a better, higher quality mega block figure in a World of Warcraft theme. And they look, like, super good.
They were great. I wish we could have, like, actually taken pictures of them to show them off, but they're not ready yet.
Yeah, every one of us that saw them would be like, yeah, we didn't really care about World of Warcraft, but we would buy those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they're neat.
Look out for those. Those are definitely going to be amazeballs.
Okay. All right, so the last big thing, while I was finishing up at Mattel, you got to run over to Playmates, and you got to see the new Ninja Turtles stuff. So you can talk about that.
Yeah, we go over to Playmates, me and Rob Bass and Shaquille, and we got to... They pretty much had us stand outside their booth, and then they crammed us like in groups of like 15 into their booth and gave us like the quickest tour I've ever had of anything. So we got to see all the figures out, and we also got to see, you know, everything we already saw pictures for. But then we saw this big display, which included figures that haven't been announced and prototypes on there, including figures like Metalhead.
Yeah, so cool.
You know, and they had, like, the different foot soldiers, and they had, you know, Shredder and all that.
And those are all from the new cartoon
series. So they have all those figures sitting in a nice display, look great. They move over to some of the vehicles that are coming out, which we've already discussed. Nothing new there, just you can actually see them in their form, which looks really nice. They show the actual sewer play set completely put together. And the only thing I got to say about the set, I mean, it looks really nice. It's really big. Is it feels like it's really tall, so it seems like the top part is a little flimsy. And it could just been the prototype they had there, but it looks like... Once you get really high up there, it's got a little bit of a wave to it.
Oh, really?
So, and half of the top piece is cardboard.
Oh, yeah.
So they use it to support it probably to give it a little more strength. But it still looks great. It's just, it looks like they might cheapen up. They're going to use probably 25% cardboard. The rest of it's going to be plastic. And then also they showed the role-playing items, all the weapons and stuff. They had them all set up in a nice, like, dojo style.
You know, cool.
They had the weapons of the turtles on the plaques, and they had like their bands across it. So really cool setup, and they showed some of the weapons, and then of course at the very end, in a very small, tiny little spot, they showed the four turtle classics figures, and my initial thought of them, and also Rob Bass when we saw them, is that they look nothing like the pictures that we've seen. Now, I don't know if these are just the prototypes that they had there, or they were just, you know, mock-ups or something, but they were very dull in color. You know where the joints are, where they had, like, the kind of the little ball on them? Mm-hmm. They were super large, and it took away from the skull.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, they were extremely noticeable. And because the pictures we saw were very shiny and bright, and everything looked, like, metalized and cool, The weapons themselves are that very dull gray that they've used since the 80s, you know, like a real dull color on the weapons. Michelangelo's nunchucks did have a chain, but it looked like, instead of a silver chain, it was like a brass, like a cheap metal that looked tarnished almost.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because it was almost like a goldish tint to it.
Yeah.
But it still had a little bit of silver to it. So, like I said, I really hope these were like unpainted, like, you know, or one coat.
Early.
Yeah, earlys. The packaging looks great. It does look like the classic style.
I think the packaging
style.
Looks awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm excited.
So, I don't know. Maybe these figures you might want to keep in the package because they look better in package than they do out. Provided that those are just not the real figures. They were just the prototypes there.
Yeah.
But they were super, like, as soon as you saw them, you're like, oh, that's disappointing. Because those pictures they showed were just like...
Well, they did that amazing. They did that with all of their early pictures because a lot of people are already kind of upset, I think. Because the first images they showed of the four new turtles from the new cartoon were, like, really detailed with, like, awesome shadowing paint jobs and everything, and their weapons were really nice looking, and that's already completely different than what the final product's going to be. Because the sample that they handed out, like the one that I already did the video on, is more closely resembling the actual retail figure that's coming out. They're much brighter. They don't have the shading detail on them, and the weapons are actually going to be unpainted, solid color brown, just like the original vintage figures. And the reason that Playmates had to do that is because they had to hit price point for retail, because they're trying to keep the figures between the $8 and $10 price point. Mm-hmm. So they had to simplify the paint jobs. Now, really, the only issue there is they probably shouldn't have just shown off those amazing hand-painted prototypes. If they never would have shown us those, there probably wouldn't have even been an issue. But people are already going, why don't they look as good as the pictures? And it's like, well, that's kind of a common practice in the world of toys, you know? The hand-painted prototypes always look way better than the final release. That's just fact.
Well, we did ask, and going back to the classics on the turtle side, we did ask a few questions about them. They're super articulated. I believe it was 36 points articulation.
Holy moly.
Yeah, even the toes had articulation.
Oh, that's just unnecessary.
And like, and the price point is $15.
That's not bad. 15 is pretty good.
So that's perfect.
I'll still buy them all. I think they look... From all the photos and the video I've seen, I still like the way that they look. I didn't get to see them in person, so I mean, I didn't get the same feeling from them that you did, but...
I was like, whoa. Like, and you know what the thing is? That, like, to me, that should have been, like, their main, like, look at these. But they were, like, they had them, like, seriously off in a corner.
That's really strange.
On a little table.
Well, they're probably just really trying to push this new line.
Yeah.
I mean, this new line is going to be huge. They're already putting so much behind it. And Turtles is, I mean, like, they're getting the full-on freaking relaunch, dude. Mm-hmm. They got, I mean, you know, they got the comic book already. They got a cartoon coming. They got that huge toy line with playsets and vehicles. They've got a video game that they just announced and a live-action movie that they just announced. So Turtles is just like, bam.
Full force.
Full force comeback.
Nickelodeon's, like, running with the ball.
Yep, for sure. Like, seriously, this is how you do a relaunch of a property. And I know that, like it kind of, it's weird saying Nickelodeon's above the word Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but you know what? I think Nickelodeon's going to do a lot of good for this brand. Because they're going to really put this out there, and they're going to put a lot of money behind it, and they're going to pump it, and kids are going to get into it, and that's only good. That's only good for the brand. So I have high hopes for it right now. I
as
just
long
hope
as that brand keeps making money for the kids side, they'll give us the adult
exactly collectors. Exactly. As long as the kids lines are making money, then we'll get the stuff that we want to. So, and that IDW comic book is awesome. Read that. If you need any kind of turtle fix and you don't like what's coming out from the new stuff, just read that book. It's so good. I like it. Cool. Well, that pretty much wraps up what we saw at Toy Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Took pretty much the whole hour. Why don't we go ahead and we'll jump in and we'll do a few fan corner questions. Probably won't get through this entire thread, but we'll go ahead and read through a couple. So we will start off with Clone Yoshi, who says, so what do you guys think of Michael Bay doing the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie? It really ticks me off so much. Since he ruined Transformers, I don't want Turtles ruined. TMNT is my life, it feels like, and if Bay kills it, it kills me. Yeah, so that's the other thing. They did announce the live-action movie, and they did say that Michael Bay would be producing it. There's a difference, because in Transformers, he directed and produced it, and in this, he's just a producer. So he's not going to have the same kind of say in Turtles as he did in Transformers, which is probably a good thing.
Well, not so much. A producer role would pretty much ultimately give him control of the property. The director would actually be in charge of how the story develops. So he does have full-on control of this
more
movie.
Explosions, please, and we need April O'Neil being sexy on a motorcycle.
But you know what? I guarantee you he learned his lesson on the Transformers thing.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. There's
did
no
you see
way.
That they announced Transformers 4?
How?
And get this, it's going to be a reboot.
What?
Already? What? Yep, already.
Well, I guess there's no more story.
They already said that, yep, Shia LaBeouf's not going to be in it. The movie's going to be about, like, Optimus. And I think they said only Optimus and Bumblebee are going to be, like, the only two that are in this one from the other ones, and it's going to be a bunch of different Transformers all coming to Earth for the first time.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, right?
It's really not a reboot. It's well, just going back to the beginning.
They're saying it's a reboot of sorts, but it's going to be in the same... like the same universe that the other movies were in. So it's going to be like one of those like pseudo reboots. But yeah, people are already going, huh? That other movie was just out last year and you're already rebooting? What? Yeah.
Well, I think he learned his lesson. I think, you know, because the third movie was a lot more tame because he took such flacking, I think. So I think after that movie came out and he still had some flaws, I think... Now he's got it. He can't. He's got to do some research.
We'll see.
Plus, you know, I can imagine. You know, the turtle property is like, I don't see how you can screw that up. So him adding the Hollywood theme to it, making it bigger and badder, I think that's only going to be good.
You know, my concern isn't really Michael Bay as much as it's how are the turtles going to look, guys in costumes. CGI.
Oh, geez, please.
I'm worried CGI. About. Nope. I'm worried about CGI. I'd rather have guys in costumes. Yep. You know why? Go watch the first Ninja Turtles movie and tell me that movie doesn't look good. That movie looks awesome still. Mm-hmm. You know what? There's just having actual actors in animatronic suits will always still look better than CGI. Look at Star Wars. Puppet Yoda looks better than any of that CGI stuff.
Doesn't.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
All of the puppet aliens in the original movies look so much better than all
you
that CGI stuff.
Puppets.
You can tell that everything else is a cartoon. It looks like real people walking around in a cartoon universe.
Yeah, the CGI stuff is like soulless. Man.
Yeah, like that, exactly.
It's kind of like there's a hollow to it.
I'm a little worried, but I don't know. We'll see how they do. I'm still excited that there's a turtle movie.
Yeah, I hope they just take the suits from part one.
Yeah.
Like they just
redo.
Require them. And
but not the suits from Next Mutation.
Oh, no.
They can leave those behind.
Those are just awkward.
That show's on Netflix now, and I started watching it.
Oh, I'm going to have to watch it.
It's so bad. All right, Rayordan says, Killen, can you please do a collection video?
No. All my stuff is in totes, and you know, until I... The idea is to move to a new place, and once I do that, I'm going to actually build shelving to take everything out and display it. If I do that, then yes, I will do it. Right now, everything is in totes in my, what I call my dungeon, my basement, that has terrible lighting. If I was to go down there, you would just see like 40 totes and sealed cases of Legos and stuff I haven't even opened yet.
Awesome.
So no.
No.
Not now.
Not happening.
But maybe I'll get to it when I've got something to show.
All right. Mad X Scientist X. After Playmates does the Turtles and Shredder and Krang in the collector's line, assuming they do, what other figures would you be most excited for them to make?
Oh, they did have a Krang, too.
Yes, for the new series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so right now, all they've got planned for the collector's line, the classics line, is the four Turtles, as far as I know. And I think what the general consensus is that if the four Turtles do well, we might get other characters as well after that. So
I want a Foot Soldier.
And I assume that the next wave would have to be like Shredder and a Foot Soldier.
And I need a Mouser.
And, Mouser would be cool. Yeah, Krang and his android body would be awesome. But we've got to have April. We have to have Casey Jones. Baxter Stockman as a fly would be fantastic. Bebop and Rocksteady are musts. Have to have Bebop and Rocksteady. God, there's so many. That's probably like the main core right there from the original cartoon.
Oh, I forgot to mention also in the cartoon line of the toys, they had a bunch of random aliens, mutants mixed in. That
oh,
were
really?
Not part of any original line. Totally new characters.
Oh, okay, yeah. I remember seeing the pictures.
There's like three or four of them there.
Like there was like a dog character.
Yeah, like I thought it was Bebop or like changed a little bit, but
I kind of like them. I think they're kind of neat. One of them was like a fish guy and he's like, he doesn't have legs, but he's got like robot legs or something. I thought he was kind of neat looking. Let's see. Let's find a good one. Hey guys, now that we... Okay, Manny Fan 1977 says, hey guys, now that we have the Stinkor armor and the Tall Star gimmick, how long do you think it'll be before Mattel reveals Mechanek? All the Four Horsemen would have to do is sculpt a new head and a weapon. Yep, you're right. There wouldn't be much left to do for it. And the neck. They'd have to do the neck. I still probably wouldn't expect to see Mechanek until next year, because I think they're going to keep holding off on some of those key characters
to help the line.
To help keep the line going. Yep. So Mechanek, even though he's an easy do, I say 2013. Early 2013.
I'm sure they have like a rainy day character group
yeah.
of things they can do instantly.
Yeah.
And he's probably one.
All right. Orko says, I always thought it would be a good idea for lines like DC Classics and Marvel Legends to make a legendary figure in every line. This character would basically be a figure outside the Build-A-Figure collection of the rest of the wave, and basically be a second chance to get a main character that you missed, like Spider-Man or Captain America. That way, new collectors can build up with characters they missed, and veteran collectors don't feel like they have to buy the same character again just for the Build-A-Figure piece. DC Universe Classics does that.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. Yeah, they do All-Stars in every wave. They have an All-Star character. And it's always Batman or Wonder Woman or Superman or... And who else have they done it? Green Lantern, Joker.
Very annoying characters.
No, and it is a great idea. You're right. But yeah, DC Universe Classics has been doing it for a long time now. If Marvel Legends adopts that, I think that'd be a good thing.
Of course,
that'd
they would have idea. To get probably several waves in.
Yeah, I was going to say, give Marvel Legends a little bit of time first, because they're just now picking back up, and they're not even really starting with, like, core characters. They're doing a lot of, like, cool, obscure stuff right off the bat.
And it took DC, I think, into about wave 13, somewhere in there, to start doing the All-Stars. Where, you know, so that's... And they ended at wave 20. And, of course, now they're doing the new line. So, you know, yeah, give them at least 10 waves under their belt, and then I'm sure they'll start popping dudes.
Yeah, I'm sure. They'll have to. Because it's one of those things where you always got to have somebody like Spider-Man and Captain America and Iron Man in the stores as recognition for the brand. And, yeah, it'll be a matter of time. They'll do it. All right. I Remember Manglore says, by now, we are most probably okay with Mattel not having action features for the most part on their Masters of the Universe Classics line. My question is for all of you. If Mattel suddenly decided to have action features from now on and offered people the opportunity to return all their previous figures to have some of them retooled to have action features, like a rolling plate for Battle Armor, He-Man, and Skeletor, Optic's Eye, etc., what I want to know is, would you be pleased enough to send them back if Mattel offered free shipping to do this? That is crazy.
For one, yes. They would never do that.
The Battle Armor is the only one I would do for.
I'll tell you what. For the most part, I am very happy that there's no action features in this line. And I think most people are too. A lot of the times, the action features, while they were fun on the original lines intended for us kids, they do kind of get in the way of the sculpts and the articulation sometimes. Now, there are specific figures, like Battle Armor He-Man, that would totally benefit from having their original action feature. He would definitely be one of them. Of course, I would say Mosquitor would be one of them, because the blood-pumping feature would be fantastic. So there are certain guys that I would be very happy if they had action
Ram
features.
Ram Man would have to have spring down.
I don't think I'd like Ram Man with the spring down thing. I want Ram Man to actually have legs this time that articulate.
Yeah, but then it'd just look awkward.
He's always like stuck together, and you know,
it'd be kind of awkward.
But, yeah, for the most part, I'm totally cool with them not having action features this time. So,
well, you know, you got Moss Man, Stinkor.
They smell. Stinkor smells awesome. I can't wait till you guys get Stinkor. Falconhood. Hasbro announces Star Trek Creo. Do you anticipate with excitement the prospect of 3¾-inch Star Wars quality Star Trek figures? Now, this is interesting because we actually heard the news about Hasbro getting the Star Trek license right before the Hasbro event, and then Hasbro didn't say anything about it through the entire thing. They had nothing to say about Star Trek. So it's curious, but I assume it's just because they're waiting to the proper moment to unveil that stuff. I didn't realize that they had the Creo license. Star Trek Creo would probably be kind of neat, actually. Yeah. But
most notably, they're 3¾.
I was going to say, I think that's what I'd be much more excited about. The idea of getting 3¾-inch Star Trek figures that are as good as their Star Wars stuff is awesome sounding. Now, here's what I worry about. When they announced the Indiana Jones line, I had that exact same excitement. Oh, these Indiana Jones figures are going to be just like their Star Wars figures. They're going to be amazing. And then they weren't. The sculpts, I mean, they were fine, but they weren't near as good as their G.I. Joe or their Star Wars stuff.
I wonder if Lucas has like a lock on that sculpt style. Like, there's a set of sculptors that are specifically set to G.I. Joe and Star Wars. Oh. And then all the other brands have like the
like, B-team. Yeah. Well, I think that's what it is, because it like there is a dedicated team that works on Star Wars, and those guys did not work on the Indiana Jones line. It was a different crew, and that's why those figures weren't as good. And so while I think it's awesome that we have potential of getting a Star Trek line like Star Wars, I fear it'll be more like Indiana Jones.
I guarantee you Lucas is like, nope, they get the B-Squad. Yeah. Not going to compete my major competition
exactly.
Right on me.
Well, keep that Star Trek away from my Star Wars.
Same thing, bro. No, it's not. Same thing.
All right. Smuggler says, this week's question is for Killen. Of all the LEGO movie lines out now, which one do you predict to be leaving the store shelves first?
Wow. I'm going blank on this one right now. I mean, the Pirates of the Caribbean is the first one out. Guarantee it. It's done. I don't think it sold well. They didn't put nothing new out, and there's nothing new planned. So that will be the first one out.
Yeah.
Because it is, in fact, the last movie license, and it's off its rotation. I think this is the next quarter will be its final.
Did they even have Pirates? They did have a little bit of Pirates there, didn't they?
No,
they didn't show it at all at Toy Fair.
What's out in
the
market?
They had Lord of the Rings stuff, which
is
cool.
They relaunched two of the sets and tried to make them like they were new, but they were already released. So they put two more back into retail, I guess two of the most popular sets. And when we were in the ships, they were the smaller sets. And those are the only things left at retail. Everything else got clearanced out. I think you can still find the Black Pearl and you know, the two ships and the Queen Anne's Revenge. I don't even think you can find Queen Anne's Revenge. I think Black Pearl is the last major thing, and there's like two smaller sets, and that's it. Those are gone. Oh. And that's sad because there's nothing else planned for Pirates. that I know of right now. So
that does suck. But I mean, it's, you know, there's no new movie for Pirates.
And you kind of think about it, they didn't have anything for Castle out there either.
No, there was no Castle stuff.
So
no Castle stuff.
Two major iconic brand styles are going to be kind of gone for a little bit.
Castle will be back. It always comes and goes.
Yeah. Well, Castle has a online exclusive from Lego.com, which is a jousting tournament set.
Oh, cool.
So it's really cool, but it's really expensive. I think it's like $150 or something like that, something crazy. But it looks really nice. And that's the only thing they have out right now. But that's not, you have to go to Lego.com or go to one of their Lego stores to buy it. You can't go to Toys R Us or Walmart.
All right.
So.
Cool.
Sad.
All right. Well, that's all we've really got time for today, since we had so much Toy Fair to talk about. So, guys, if you got your own questions or anything like that you'd like to ask us, you can head on over to the PopCultureNetwork.com forums and post your questions in the Fan Corner thread, and we'll try to answer as many questions as we can right here on the show each week. While you guys are there on the site, to make sure you're checking out all of the original content, there is a ton of Toy Fair stuff on the site right now. So if you haven't seen any of it yet, just click on that Toy Fair banner right there on the front page. It'll take you right to it. Lots of videos, lots of pictures, a few write-ups about things that happened at the event. A lot of cool stuff going on in there. So we did all that work. You guys better enjoy it.
I got all my stuff out. It's all out. Everything I shot is done.
Yep, Rob's done too, and I've got all the photos uploaded. So bam, there it is, Toy Fair. So, also, be sure to check out the official store at shoppcn.com. Is there anything in specific this week you'd like to
plug? New comics, including Ninja Turtles number 7, the newest issue.
Bum, bum, bum.
And also, we did get the, for all you bronies out there, the Friendship is Magic, My Little Ponies Wave 4 with the pets. Those are now in our store, and they are perfect, based right off the cartoon. I mean, they don't even say Friendship is Magic anywhere on them, but they are clearly those figures.
Cool.
So awesome. We got those. I just placed orders for Venture Brothers 3¾ figures. So those will be coming.
Oh, I forgot about those.
In May, I think those will launch.
I didn't see Biff Bang Pow at Toy Fair.
Well, we didn't really look for them either.
Huh, I forgot.
So
good job, us.
Look for those coming out in, I think, May.
Sweet. All right, and before we go, Christina, say something so that there's a reason for you to be here.
I know, right? I don't know why I'm here.
Your eye candy, probably.
That's right. You can strike a pose for the camera or something. Blow them all a kiss.
I wasn't there. I was out exploring New York instead of being in a convention center.
Yeah, well, you got a better deal. Trust me.
Yeah, you definitely got a better deal.
I don't know. It was really cold out there.
Yeah. Toy Fair is kind of like, let's go to sleep.
Yeah, I was like, it was work.
It's too much work. Yeah. It's very hard. Alright guys, well that's going to wrap up this week's edition of the It Figures Podcast. So until next week, I'm Pixel Dan.
And I'm your Lord Kill.
See you guys next week. Booyah.